lives.
And we're back. Back and better than ever. So whoever you are, wherever you are, and whenever it is, you're catching some Vrain waves. Coming to you from the banks of the boisterous, the beautiful St. Vrain River in almost always sunny Longmont, Colorado, I'm Ben Kolb, and across the table from me is the pride and joy of Illinois, Becky Peters, and she's definitely the more talented co-host of Vrain Waves. Becky, what is good?
It's all good, Ben. I'm so happy to be back, and I'm super inspired coming off of this summer of learning and seeing how many educators around the country are hashtag making some Vrain Waves. It's been really fun to hear from teachers how the educational giants on this podcast have helped inform, inspire, and connect them, and I can't wait to keep writing this Vrain Wave for season two. And depending on where you're listening from, you may be mere hours from your first day of school, or maybe you still of a few weeks, but Ben and I couldn't think of a better way really to launch season two than to share some first day and first week of school strategies and ideas that you can put into use immediately and really throughout the year. But as is often the case, these aren't necessarily our creations, but rather the ideas and strategies and stories that we've curated from our guests that we had on last season, from amazing teachers that we've had, and from the incredible teachers that we've worked with.
100%, Becky. I remember flashback past all of the back-to-school nightmares. And I remember going into my first year teaching, I'd put so much work into how my desks were set up and the posters and printing everything off that really in my plan book next to the first day of school, all I wrote was syllabus day. And I literally handed a 3 or 4 page document to each kid and popcorn style had them read each section out from what the homework policy was to what our grade book was. And then when they were done with that, I gave them like a get to know you worksheet that really they just talked about hobbies in summer. And I put very, very little thought into that first day. And I really made probably 135 mistakes my first year, but that one really might have been the biggest for sure. Chip and Dan Heath just wrote a really cool book called The Power of Moments. And we are in the process of scheduling an interview with them for season two of Vrain Waves. Yeah, that'll be super cool. But in that book, they cite research all about our memory. And really, our brain remembers the start and end of things more than anything in the middle. And so it is incredibly important that we rock that first day of school. You know, the old cliche that you get no second chance at a first impression. And that's so true with our classrooms as well. So we want you to help you avoid making the mistake that I did by providing some giant stories for you to stand on top of and some things you can try out in just a few days or weeks.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Ben. I know that's a hard story to tell. I probably made like 235 mistakes my first year, not to outdo you, but it was really bad. But I think we all remember that first high octane interview with Pirate Dave Burgess in episode 5 of season 1. How could you forget it, really? Remember that his energy and passion aren't by accident. They're super intentional. And his advice about the first day of school is really brilliant. He says that when you're planning your first day, think about the last day. On the last day of school, Dave would have his students write 5 words to describe him as a teacher and his class in general. So think now, what do you want those 5 words to be? And how can you backwards plan to make sure that those are the words that jump to a kid's mind when they think about your class?
For sure. And I think 15 years later, back to the first day of my junior year of high school and my favorite teacher ever, Mr. Richer. And if I were to think of 5 words to describe him, even 15 years after the fact, it's engaging, creative, hilarious, thought-provoking, and all of that started on day one of his class. And really, it's something that I will never forget, and I bet every kid who took his class will never forget it. So you walk in, first day of junior year, he is wearing a mining hat, like that you would wear if you go into a cave, and we'll do a quick moment of silence for that soccer team in the cave. Oh, they're out? Okay, that's fantastic. So on the first day, you walk in and he has this mining hat with a light at the front and he has you sit down and he starts to bring these gigantic rocks from behind his desk and start, they're kind of like the size of boulders and he uses these rocks to tell about his life. So he passes them up and down the rows and so you're taking this gigantic rock and handing it to the person sitting behind you. And so he would say, well, this is the rock that was out front of my house in Springfield, Illinois, and this is the rock that I got when I went to CU Boulder. And I later found out that all these were made up and just rocks from the parking lot. But the fact is, these rocks were going all up and down the rows. And then he gets everyone's attention and says, and I need everyone to pay really careful attention to this rock. It probably costs more than your parents' house. And I don't even know if I should pass this one up. And it's a pretty good-sized rock, and he takes a step forward like he's going to hand it to someone, and he mm-hmm. throws it at this giant dude, like, sitting two rows over from me, and the whole God. Class just screams. And it wasn't a real rock. It was a foam rock, but we all thought it was a completely real rock. And that wasn't just a shtick. He went on to say, hey, this whole class is about perception versus reality, and this whole time you thought this was real, but it wasn't. And this the class is all about finding out the truth about history and, you know, perception versus reality. And I will never forget that first day activity, so much so that after my horrible first day, I emailed him and said, hey, where do you go about finding a foam rock? And the next time I was back home in Colorado, he gave me an extra one. So I started my first days of school just like that. And I think it's all back to that idea of planning out what do you want kids to remember about you as a teacher, and planning that in even to day one. So I love that advice about backwards planning your hopes.
That's so cool, because especially setting that expectation that like the whole year you're going to be talking about that theme of perception versus reality and how history can skew that. That's fascinating. And that's obviously one thing that you remember. And while we're talking about beginning with the end in mind, another awesome start of the year activity for your classroom is to engage with your students in a pre-mortem. You may remember that advice from season one, episode 9, when we interviewed the very talented Daniel Pink. And essentially a pre-mortem asks you at the start of a project or an endeavor to imagine what utter failure feels like, looks like, and examine why things might have gone south. So you might consider what mindsets were in place that precipitated that failure, what skills were missing, what barriers got in your way. And you might have students do a pre-mortem for a specific course, for a project, for a unit, even an assessment, really anything they're going to be working on for a while, where you want them to think first about the mindsets and criteria that are going to be essential to their success, like your class. Then once you've identified all the things that might go wrong, you're much better prepared to take action steps to prevent those things from happening. Obviously, it's not a guarantee of success that you'll be able to sidestep all those things by predicting those issues, but it's a great way to uncover blind spots and then also examine what might potentially happen as a result of your plans.
Yeah, I've struggled with like anxiousness and nervousness my whole life. And I think my mom kind of to help me get past some anxiety sometimes would do little pre-mortems with me. So I like, let's say I'm super nervous for a job interview or something. She'd be like, well, Ben, what's going to happen if the job interview goes horribly? And I'll be like, well, I won't get the job. And then she would say, well, and then what would happen? Well, I'd have to apply for another job and I won't have any money. And then what would happen? And so each time she said, and then what, I realized that like what I was really anxious about wasn't this huge deal that I'd blown it up to in my mind. So I think not only can it help our students just really set goals to avoid failure, it helps you realize that even these huge failures you have in your mind aren't that big a deal.
Aw, good job, Mrs. Kalb.
Thanks, Mom. You're the best. That's so sweet. The next thing I think is super powerful to start the year with, and it's something I never had the opportunity to do in a class, comes from the author Allison Zamuda. And we've already recorded an interview with her. We cannot wait to release that. But her telling this story about going with her daughter on the first day to kindergarten really gave me goosebumps. And her advice is that you should start your first day of school by showing students what they're going to be able to do after a year of learning in your class. And so she said that here she was sitting in this kindergarten class, all the parents were in the back, and the kindergarten teacher, in the most beautiful, magical way, showed the kids that this year, you're walking into this class and you can't read. You're going to walk out of this class and the entire world is open to you in a brand new magical way because you can read. And she said, looking around the room, there wasn't a dry eye in the parent section, because here is something you can't do now that you're going to be able to do in just a couple of months. And so I think you can't really think of a more inspirational way to start off your year than by throw up that super hard math story problem that a kid's like, I'll never be able to do that, and be like, hey, in a couple months, that's going to be the easy question on the final. And so I think that's just a super sweet way to start the year, show what they'll be able to do.
That's another really motivating way to do it. I really like that. I also want to think through how we can have students like introduce themselves to you and to each other, because that's obviously important. I mean, I know you talked earlier about those worksheets with, you know, what you do over the summer and things like that. And this could be a perfect place to wrap in some like critical creativity work. If you remember the episode from last season with Dan Ryder in episode 6, any of those recipes from his book Intention that he wrote with Amy Burval would be awesome here. So have your students design a color palette that represents them as a person. Have them do an Oreo challenge to show what their dream job might be. Have them make a Frankenword mashup of their favorite actor plus athlete plus band or whatever. Mine would be, I needed help with this one. Mine would be LeBish, LeBron and Fish. I don't really have a favorite athlete, but Ben told me my favorite one should be LeBron.
Made her say LeBron in case he's listening. Yeah.
But do any of those strategies from the book as a first day of school, like either no tech, low tech, high tech, whatever it is. Another idea for getting to know your students is to make like a one-page sheet that they can fold and use as a name tent that they can like decorate or whatever. But then on the backside, the side that you don't see when it's a name tent, you could put a table with 2 rows and 5 columns. I'll put one on show notes. But have a question there for every day of the week. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, that you can have them write to you about themselves or what they're hoping for in that class or what qualities they're looking for in a teacher. And then you write them back on that same paper every night that first week. I did that with my 9th graders and I learned so much about all 150 of them and their goals in a really simple way and in such a short period of time. And it was a lower risk way for them to share about themselves with me because we were just doing it on paper. It wasn't in front of the whole class. And I've always really loved that one.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And that probably helped you remember their names too.
Oh, so much, so much. Yeah, because I had all their name tents at home with me that first week. It's a little bit of a lot, like, you know, at night that first week, but there's nothing more important than relationships, so it's worth the investment.
Yeah, for sure. I bet there's a way to do that digitally where they could attach a picture as well, but that's super cool.
Oh, sure.
That's way better than me calling kids, hey, kid, up until December, you know? Or buckaroo. I did not do that. No, I didn't. I didn't. Well, I truly love the idea of students creating stuff, and I started doing that, but one of the mistakes that I would make is that I would almost force someone's hand and ask the prompt of, like, tell me about your summer. And so I might have been like, hey, let's create an iMovie trailer. But that was the prompt that I would give them. And I realized quickly, like, what a huge mistake it was and how that can kind of forcing a kid to introduce themselves by talking about their summer can really, you know, not every kid had a great summer that no one wants to be like, oh, great, you jet skied in the Maldives. I stayed home because my dad lost his job, or I was in the hospital all summer with my mom or something like that. So I think allowing kids create and maybe having summer as an option, but not necessarily forcing that like I did for sure. Another cool idea, we recently interviewed John Couch, who wrote a book called Rewiring Education. Another interview on the way. We're just preheating the grill here, getting you excited. But he tells a story about a teacher who on the first day of school has students answer the question, what is the purpose of school? And why are you in school? And we know that the first day of school is probably when motivation is at its highest. So having students think about their why and then having those why statements to use throughout the year as motivation is kind of waning, right? If you know Heather is in school because she really wants to be a nurse, when she's struggling later through the year, that can be something you bring up in a conversation and hopefully help her be motivated talking about some of her biggest dreams.
Ben, I loved what you said about not having, you know, talk about your summer be the only option for introducing themselves to the class, because I'd never really thought about that before. And yeah, some people might have had a really crappy summer, and that's not like their best foot forward that they want to put in front of their class that year. So thank you for that. And I just learned another activity for getting to know you that I'm super jazzed about. I've done it a couple times in when I've been facilitating. I found it on Twitter, but I can't remember where I found it. So whoever I'm stealing this from, I'm sorry for the lack of reference. I'll try to find it. But you basically have everybody write down 5 numbers that describe their life or tell their life story. So it's a fun exercise in creativity too, because it's surprisingly challenging to come up with 5 numbers that describe you as a person or, like, you know, your life or your year or whatever. But once you do, you can really learn some new things about people that even you know really, really well already.
My first number would be 1,000, because that's how many push-ups I do before I start getting tired. It's not even 1,000.
Yeah. I made one of my numbers 5'2" because I feel pretty defined by my shortness.
Man,
so
that's not a growth mindset.
That's a life
though.
Story number. Right,
you're 5'2" yet. Okay. Yet you're 5'2". I think,
that's true.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think another super cool idea is just having students co-create rules and norms. And teachers do a lot of cool activities for this. But I like to have students co-creating norms and then using whatever it is that they're creating as wall art. And so I think our last episode of season one with Dr. Ducour really talked about prompts hanging up around the room are most effective if the students who created them are in the class. And so as tempting as it is to just keep last year's posters up, it's probably worth a little bit of extra effort to take them down and have students co-creating that together.
My favorite one that he said is that his students came up with, "We all have the right to be wrong," and they put that up in the classroom. I think that is just the most beautiful statement. And on that note, actually, setting up a safe space is really paramount. So safe not only for their risk-taking, but also for giving you feedback on how they feel in your classroom. You can ask them, even on that back-and-forth paper dialogue we mentioned earlier, what qualities do you hope for in a teacher? This simple question can give incredible insight into your students' habits, expectations, and even past experiences with their education, whether those be super positive or, you know, maybe less so.
So those are some examples, some things you can do with your students on the first day of school. We're also going to link to a few of our favorite blogs and websites that have even more first day of school activities. But don't forget to pay attention to the people you're doing this with. I think of every famous athlete who's ever retired, whenever they're on TV and interviewed about what they miss most, they don't miss the game, they don't miss the competitive nature, they miss the locker room with the people that they did life and went to battle with. And actually, just a story along those lines is I was just talking to a good friend, Julie Reed, who now was a Spanish teacher for tons of years at a high school, and now she's in charge of getting 32,000 iPads out to staff and students in an incredibly difficult job. And all the time people ask her, "Do you regret that you left the classroom?" And she said, it's not on the 15-hour days that she regrets leaving the classroom. It's not on the days that the Wi-Fi goes down or that everything breaks that she regrets leaving the classroom or not having summers off. But it's those first couple days of school when the relationships with your fellow colleagues, just that buzz that's in the atmosphere and in the classrooms before those students walk in, there is really nothing like that. And in 15 to 30 years when you retire, that's going to be what you miss. So really just revel in it and enjoy it, because it will go fast.
Like, there's so much to think about and so much to plan, but like enjoying those first couple of days with your colleagues is super, super important. And they're the ones that are going to lift you up when you're having rough days. That's really good advice. And Julie Reed is crushing it, by the way, with those iPad deliveries. It's incredible. But when all is said and done, remember why you're there. I think that's the best thing we can say about the beginning of the year. And pay attention to your relationships with all of the people around you, students, colleagues, whomever. Let them know that you're there for them and that you'll do everything you can to see them succeed. And try to have fun and enjoy life. We're not here for very long, and there's lots of ways that we can make ourselves miserable. But if we can remember to take joy in learning and growing and sharing this experience of life with the people around us, we will all have an amazing year.
Yeah, don't forget, the most important thing about the first couple days of school is listen to Brainwaves.
Of course, listen to Brainwaves, most important. And as a heads up, we're planning on releasing bi-weekly episodes this season so that we can keep the quality high and the interviews amazing. You're not going to want to miss them. This is going to be a killer, killer season. So stay tuned.
We are super hungry for your feedback. So we would love it if you could tweet using hashtag make some Brainwaves. What are you going to be doing on the first day of school? We can all learn from each other. But as always, thanks for listening. Have a great generic time of day.
Brainwaves. I love brainwaves.